Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. I thought I'd start off with a Valentine's show. This is one of the lost Great Gildersleeve shows recorded by ART Lexington. It's number 87. They called it Bachelor Dinner for Gildy.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. Lots of you women are serving macaroni and cheese these days, because it's economical and because the family loves it. But I want to ask, do you know how to make grand macaroni and cheese in only 7 minutes cooking time? It's done with a product called Kraft Dinner. In each package of this famous food, there's a special quick-cooking macaroni that gets fluffy light and boiling water in only 7 minutes by the clock. In that same Kraft Dinner package, there's an envelope of Kraft-grated that lets you stir the cheese goodness through and through the macaroni in a twinkling. All in all, it's less time than it takes to make coffee. And you have a swell main dish of macaroni and cheese ready to serve. Enough for four, and the cost is only a very few cents a serving. Of course, if you have bits of leftover meat, you can add them to your Kraft Dinner macaroni and cheese to patriotically stretch them for another meal. You'll find quick, economical Kraft Dinner gives you real help with wartime meals. Try it soon. Kraft Dinner. Now, let's join the Great Gildersleeve. As the weeks roll by and his wedding day approaches, the great man has been making less and less sense, and now, with only 1 week of single blessedness left, he is as absent-minded as a June bride. He has been about the house half the morning in his bathrobe and slippers, getting in the way generally and trying to decide which of 100 things to tackle first.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve!
I'll be right there, Bertie. Breakfast ready?
Mr. Gildersleeve, you had breakfast about 2 hours ago.
Oh, so I did.
Don't you think it's about time you got started?
Started?
Yes. Do you know what time it is?
Time? What is time, Bertie? When you stop to think about it, time is relative. Time is an illusion.
Mr. Gildersleeve, are you feeling all right?
I feel fine. Oh, my goodness, it's 11:30.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. It's 11:30 and you ain't even dressed.
I knew there was something I had to do. Get dressed. Thanks, Bertie.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes?
I was going to ask you, do you suppose I could get the afternoon and the evening off?
Afternoon and evening?
Just this once.
But, Bertie, this is Saturday.
I know, sir. But you see, Miss Marjorie will be going out with Mr. Ben, and Leroy invited himself to Piggy's for dinner.
Well, what about me? What am I going to do for dinner?
Well, sir, you just trust in Providence.
Oh, you mean I'll find mine in the icebox?
Oh, no, sir. I don't mean that. No, sir.
Then what do you mean?
I can't tell.
Now, Bertie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve, but my hands are tied.
Well, your mouth isn't. Come on, what's up?
Honest, Mr. Gildersleeve, I can't tell you. The judge wouldn't like it.
Oh, the judge. The judge is back of this.
Well, sort of.
Do you mean to tell me that you propose to go over and cook for Judge Hooker this evening?
No, sir. I was trying not to tell you.
Well, of all the nerve. You can tell that old goat for me.
Hello? Anybody home?
That's the old gentleman now. You tell him.
Hooker, come in here.
Where are you, Gildy?
In here.
Well, I see we've slipped in a little late this morning.
Never mind that. Listen, Hooker, when you want to borrow my cook, you see me. Don't come sneaking around the kitchen door like some fifth columnist.
I didn't say anything, Judge. I didn't say a word.
Why, I had every intention of asking your permission, Gildy. In fact, if you're not doing anything this evening, I'd like to have you come to dinner.
That's awfully decent of you, Judge, with my cook. Well, it's too late. You can't buy me off that way.
But, Gildy, I'm giving this dinner for a very distinguished friend of mine.
Distinguished?
It wouldn't be complete without you.
Judge, if you have any distinguished friends, I have yet to meet them. And if you give this dinner, you'll give it without me.
I only wish I could. Unfortunately, the so-called distinguished friend happens to be you.
Me?
Yes, you old sourpuss. Reluctantly and against my will, I'm giving you a bachelor dinner. Will you kindly have the decency to attend?
Why, Horace, you old son of a gun.
You old buzzard, I was planning to make it a surprise.
Why, you old horse thief.
You old rooster.
You old grumpus.
I guess this old cook better get started on that old dinner. I'll answer it, Miss Marjorie. I'm going anyway. Mr. Ben, in your new uniform, don't you look grand?
Thanks, Bertie.
Excuse me, I'm going out. Miss Marjorie's in the parlor.
Thanks. I'll just go in.
Ben, let me look at you.
Well, how do you like it?
It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful uniform I ever saw.
Well, gee, thanks.
Ben, it looks wonderful. But does it mean... when do you have to go?
Not sure yet, but I might get my orders any minute.
Oh, Ben.
But I thought if you weren't doing anything this evening...
Silly, of course I'm not doing anything.
Okay, we can go out to dinner. What shall we do till then?
Well, what would you like to do?
Oh, anything you'd like to do.
Well, I'd like whatever you'd like.
Oh, here's your brother.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Marge. Say, the uniform is super.
Thanks, Leroy.
How do you happen to be home, Leroy?
I live here. When did you get the uniform anyhow, Ben?
Just this morning.
Gosh, I want to be in the Navy, too. Let me try on the cap, will you?
Well, sure. I guess so.
Oh, boy. Submarine off the starboard bow. Prepare to fire depth charges. Boom! Dive bombers on the port quarter. Anti-aircraft. Battleship dead ahead. Stand by to ram.
Leroy.
What?
Give Ben his cap and go upstairs and wash your hands and face.
Why? They're perfectly clean.
Then go upstairs and change your clothes.
Gosh, are we going somewhere?
Leroy, Ben may be leaving very soon.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Here's your hat, Admiral.
Thanks. See you later, Leroy. Well, let's see. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Do we have to talk?
Oh, yeah. I remember now. No, we don't have to talk.
You're so handsome in your uniform. Now I know what it is about sailors.
Well, Marge, there's something I've been wanting to ask you.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Home is the hunter. Home from the Ben. Well, well, my boy, so you're really in the Navy at last. Congratulations.
Thanks, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Doesn't he look military, Marjorie?
Yes, he does, Uncle Mort. Well, aren't you going to try his cap?
Why not? You don't mind, Ben? There. No sword, my boy?
No, sir. No swords in this war. Not much use in a seaplane, I guess.
No, I suppose not. Well... abaft the binnacle! Shiver me timbers! Batten down the hatches and man the scuppers! How's that, Ben?
Very good, sir. Very nautical.
You and Leroy should sail boats in the bathtub.
Is that so? Well, I've been quite a sailor in my time. Ben, did you know that I was on the varsity crew in college?
Uncle Mort, don't be a dope. Ben may be leaving any day, and...
Oh, well, maybe you'd like me to go upstairs and take a bath, my dear?
Maybe.
Yes, Ben, I imagine a handsome young lieutenant in a good-looking new uniform could think of a few things to say if old Uncle Mort left the young people alone, hey?
Gosh, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not doing anything.
Oh, Ben.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, there must be.
Ben, do you still want to take me out to dinner tonight?
Sure I do.
Then I'll go upstairs and start to dress. You men can just sit here and talk about the weather.
But Marjorie...
I'll be down in an hour and a half.
Leela, come in.
Hello, darling.
Did you see Ben out there in his new uniform?
Yes, isn't he the handsomest thing?
Yes, good-looking boy, when he gets the hair out of his eyes.
You know what I wish, Throckmorton?
What?
I wish we could have a military wedding. I've always wanted a military wedding.
It's a little late to think of that, isn't it?
Oh, it's just a dream, of course. But all those swords and those lieutenants, they make a girl look so frail somehow.
Don't worry. Alongside me, you'll look frail.
Silly. By the way, Aunt Jenny just arrived and she's dying to meet you.
Aunt Jenny?
Aunt Jenny Calhoun. You know, I told you about her. She's staying overnight with me, and then she's gone on to my sister Winfield's to stay till the wedding. I'll expect you for dinner about 6:30.
Tonight?
Of course tonight. Don't tell me you've forgotten.
Well, no, but, gee, I didn't realize it was tonight. I'm having dinner at Judge Hooker's.
Well, you just have to call it off. The judge can see you at any time. And besides, Aunt Jenny is as rich as she can be.
But it's my bachelor dinner, Leela. The judge has invited a lot of people. I can't call it off now.
Well, I don't know what Aunt Jenny's going to say, I'm sure. I think it was very careless of you, Throckmorton.
I didn't mean to forget, Leela.
And very thoughtless of the judge. I know what goes on at those dinners. They just sit around and say horrible things about women.
No, they don't, Leela.
Don't tell me. I'll never forget what they did to poor Beauregard. Well, the only thing for you to do is to go to your old bachelor dinner and leave early so you can come and pay your respects to Aunt Jenny.
But I'm the guest of honor, Leela. I can't leave.
You will leave not later than 9:30, Throckmorton, you hear? Because Aunt Jenny has got to go to bed early. She's an old lady, and she's very rich.
All right, I'll try.
And don't be late. I'm letting you off easy as it is. Now kiss Leela, and I'll be going.
Mwah.
Where I come from, that would hardly be considered a kiss.
All right, here.
Well, you don't have to smother me. Gracious, I'm forgetting what I came over for. Darling, I had the most wonderful idea for our wedding.
What's that?
Well, you know, we were worrying about where we were going to find a little flower girl.
I wasn't exactly losing sleep over it.
Well, I just suddenly thought, what's the matter with Leroy?
Leroy? For a flower girl?
No, we wouldn't have a flower girl, but Leroy would be a page. You know, he'd wear white stockings and white gloves and little velvet knee breeches and a white silk shirt with a big collar.
Well, I don't know. Leroy doesn't go in much for velvet breeches.
I know, but I bought him a little outfit today, and wait till you see, it's just darling. I brought it with me.
Have you broken this to Leroy?
No, and we must get him to try the suit on right away because I only guessed at the size. Is he around?
I think I heard him upstairs. Leroy! Oh, Leroy!
What do you want?
Don't ask me what I want. Come down here.
I don't know if I can get this open.
Here, want me to break the string for you?
I'm afraid you'll need scissors.
Not me. Let's have it.
Oh, Throckmorton, you're so strong.
Nothing at all. They aren't putting the stuff in string these days.
Oh, I do hope it's going to fit him.
You want me up?
Mrs. Ransom does. She's got something for you.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Ransom.
Hello, Leroy. I brought you a present.
Oh, boy, a present.
Now, you mustn't get your hopes up too high.
No, don't.
There.
What's that?
This is what you're going to wear to the wedding.
Are you kidding?
Leroy.
You don't understand, dear. You're going to be a little page at my wedding. You're going to wear this and be in the bridal procession and maybe carry the ring on a velvet cushion.
Not me.
Young man, you'll do what you're told.
Unc, if I ever wore a thing like that, I'd have to leave town and change my name.
Leroy, you heard me.
Unc, you aren't going to make me put that thing on.
I am, and right now. We want to see if it fits. Come on.
But somebody might see me.
Leroy, please, like a good boy.
No.
Leroy.
She's not going to get me into any pinafore.
Young man, do you want a licking?
I'd rather have a licking than wear that.
Calm down.
Leroy, Don't you want us to have a nice wedding?
I don't want you to have any wedding.
Well,
Leroy!
Nobody asked me about this wedding. Why doesn't she just leave people alone? Why does she have to come around and spoil everything for?
Leroy, you marched yourself into my study right now, young man.
I'm going.
Leela, he didn't mean that. The boy is just upset.
Well, so am I. I was never so upset in my life.
You know how children are.
I never thought they were like that.
Now, please, just sit down a moment, and I'll go in and...
I don't know what to do, Throckmorton. I was never so upset in my life. I think I'll just go home and lie down till dinner time with some smelling salts and a cold compress.
Please, wait just a minute, Leela. Let me talk to the boy. I'll make him apologize. I'll fix everything. You just wait here. Trouble, trouble. Hysterical women, hysterical children.
Who's hysterical?
Now, young man.
I don't have to stay around here and be insulted by other people's children. And I don't have to marry a man twice my age. There are plenty of other men who still find me attractive. Darwin Chubb would never have treated me like this. And neither would George William Hungerford. Why, even Beauregard.
Let go! Let go my ear! I'll come.
Leela, this young man has something he wants to say to you.
Very well.
Go on, Leroy. Say it.
I'm sorry.
Say what I told you to say.
I'm sorry, Mother.
Mother?
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. These days, it's a patriotic duty to use up the leftovers. So here's an idea. When you have a little leftover meat or vegetables, cream them and serve in a swell ring of macaroni and cheese. There's a grand, thrifty meal all on one platter. But the best idea is this. Make that macaroni and cheese quickly. To be exact, in only 7 minutes cooking time. You do it with a product called Kraft Dinner. In every package of Kraft Dinner, there's a quick-cooking macaroni that needs no baking. Also some Kraft grated that gives you a swell cheese flavor in a jiffy. Actually, 7 minutes at the stove and you have fluffy light macaroni with cheese goodness through and through. If you like, you can press that macaroni and cheese into a ring mold. Let it stand for a minute, unmold on a platter, and fill the center with your creamed vegetables and meat. Of course, Kraft Dinner macaroni and cheese is a tasty and thrifty main dish all by itself. Each Kraft Dinner package holds enough for 4 good servings. Ask for the 7-minute macaroni and cheese soon. It's Kraft Dinner. Now, let's get back to the Great Gildersleeve. He has enjoyed a fine dinner at Judge Hooker's, and now, surrounded by a few old friends, he is full of the spirit of bachelor gaiety and good fellowship.
Another cigar, Gildy?
No thanks, Horace.
Floyd?
Thanks, Judge.
What about you, Peavy?
No, Judge, I don't smoke 'em. I just sell 'em.
Certainly was a fine dinner, Judge, though I shouldn't praise my own cook.
That's all right, Gildy. As a matter of fact, I was about to offer a toast to the incomparable Bertie.
Don't let me stop you, Horace.
All right. Gentlemen, I give you...
Wait a minute, Judge. Aren't you going to let Bertie hear it? Call her in here.
You're right, Floyd. Oh, Bertie. Bertie!
Was there something else you want, Judge?
The judge is going to pay you a compliment, Bertie. He wants to be sure you'll hear it.
Well, now, he didn't have to call me in just for that. I haven't missed a word the whole evening.
All right, gentlemen. Let us toast this genius of the skillet. The evidence of whose artistry is all too apparent behind the vest of Mr. Gildersleeve, I give you Bertie Lee Coggins.
Hey! Yeah, Bertie! Hey, 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 all right! Hey.
Thank you, gentlemen. Can I go home now, Judge?
Yes, Bertie. Good night and thank you.
Good night, Bertie.
Good night, Bertie.
Good night.
What time is it getting to be, Horace?
Oh, it's early yet.
Sure, Commish, it's early. There's nothing like a night out with the boys for a change, eh, Peavy?
Well, it's a change for me, all right. Fact is, I don't get out very often. Neither does Mrs. Peavy.
That's marriage for you. Gildy, you won't be going out much anymore either.
Maybe I won't want to, Judge.
You'll do what you're told, not what you want. Am I right, Floyd?
You can bank on that, Judge. course, I never have any problems like that myself.
You don't, eh?
No, sir. I just tell Lovey, out with the boys tonight, and that's that. If you want to get started right, you'll do the same, Commish.
Oh, I don't expect to have any trouble. I'm hoping to learn Peavy's secret, how to be happy, though married.
Oh, it's no secret, Mr. Gildersleeve. In my opinion, the amount of trouble in married life has been greatly exaggerated by the commentators.
You're right, Peavy. If you pick the right girl, marriage can be just one long honeymoon.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
What time is it?
It's early yet. Hello? Yes, he's here. Just one moment.
Well, who could be calling me here?
For you, Floyd. Sounds like your wife.
Oh, the ball and chain, Floyd?
Hello? Oh, hello, dear. Yes, but it's only... No, I haven't forgotten. Of course I do. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. All right.
Of course I never have any problems like that myself.
Lay off, will you? You don't know what it's like. If you did, you wouldn't be here tonight.
Well, there it is, Gildy. Better think twice before it's too late.
You can't scare me. I think marriage is a great institution.
Yes, and if I'd ever had any doubts of it, they'd have been cured when Mrs. Peavy left me alone for 10 days back in 1940. Went to visit her sister.
Mister, did you, Peavy?
Oh, I certainly did. I just didn't know what to do with myself.
But, Peavy, didn't you get a chance to raise little Cain in the evenings?
I wouldn't call it that exactly, Judge. I did try smoking in bed, but the excitement soon wore off.
I guess you're not the dissipating type.
No, I suppose not. It finally got so I just spent my evenings playing solitaire and listening to the radio. I was mighty glad to see Mrs. Peavy get back, I can tell you.
How do you spend your evenings now?
Playing solitaire and listening to the radio. But it's a lot more fun when two people do it.
Well, Gildy, there you are. Get married and play solitaire. Or look at Floyd, wife calling him up to come home in the middle of the evening.
Well, now, Judge, it is getting pretty late. As a matter of fact, I ought to be getting...
Now, Gildy, you're not married yet. How do you think you're going to like it when she tells you to come home at 10:30?
Leela wouldn't do that.
And when she balls you out because you weren't there.
She wouldn't do that either.
Well, boys, it looks as if we can't shake him. As your personal attorney, Gildy, may I make one final appeal?
You'll be wasting your breath, Judge.
Well, I give up. He's gone, boys. We can't save him.
It was nice knowing you, Commish.
Oh, my goodness. I've got to be going. It's past 10:30.
What of it? It's the shank of the evening. We're only young once.
That's right.
No, really. I've got to go. Thanks, fellas, for a wonderful party.
Well, all right. If you must. Good night, Gildy.
So long, Commish.
Leela! Leela, honey, it's me!
Throckmorton, for heaven's sakes! Shh!
Why? Why should I?
Aunt Jenny!
Dear Aunt Jenny!
Throckmorton, I ask you to be quiet!
What's the matter? Somebody dead? Don't tell me the old girl's kicked the bucket!
She's asleep!
Oh, well, get her up! I came all the way over here to see her. Left the party early!
Early? Do you know what time it is?
There you go. Time. I ask you, what is time? Time is relative. Time is an illusion. Just ask Einstein. He'll tell you.
I'm not interested in your rowdy friends, Throckmorton, and I'm not particularly interested in you.
Why, Leela? After I came all the way back here?
You came here an hour and a half late. I asked you to be here by 9:30.
But, darling, the dinner didn't even get started till 8.
That makes no difference if you cared anything at all for me.
But I do, Leela.
If you had any consideration whatever for Aunt Jenny.
I love Aunt Jenny. But this was my bachelor dinner, the only bachelor dinner I'll ever have. The only bachelor I'll ever be.
Well, if you love being a bachelor so much, go on back to it.
All right, I will.
No, you won't. You'll be over here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock sharp.
Yes, Leela.
I want you to take Aunt Jenny to the station.
Yes, Leela.
And don't you be late.
Yes, Leela. I mean, no, Leela. Good night, Leela. Good night, Throckmorton.
Morning, Unc. How do you feel?
Fine, Leroy. Fine.
That's funny. You look terrible.
Well, I smoked too many cigars last night.
Oh.
And I'm in no mood to be cross-examined.
Okay. I'll get it. Hello? Ben? Your voice is different since you joined the Navy. No, she's not up yet. This morning? I'll get her up right away and tell her to stand by. So long.
What was that?
Ben's leaving this morning. He's coming right over to say goodbye to Marge.
Oh, my goodness. Well, wake her up. What are you standing there for?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Marge!
Not so loud, Leroy.
Well, don't you want to wake her up?
Oh, yes. Marjorie!
What is it? What's all the racket?
Ben's leaving this morning, and he'll be here any minute to say goodbye.
I'll be right down. Don't let him get away.
Okay. Gee, Unc, do you think he'll go in a plane?
No, they'll probably send a battleship for him.
But there's no water around here.
Joke, Leroy. Joke.
Oh, here comes somebody. It couldn't be Ben so soon. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Ransom. You didn't use your doorbell signal.
No, Leroy.
In here, Leela.
Good morning, Throckmorton.
You didn't use our signal, Leela.
No, Throckmorton.
You may go, Leroy.
Thanks, Unc. If you'll excuse me, Mrs. Ransom.
Certainly. Well, Throckmorton.
What do you mean, Leela?
You know perfectly well what I mean. I trust you're thoroughly ashamed of your conduct last evening.
Me? But I didn't do anything bad, Leela. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet your aunt.
Sorry. You came late on purpose.
I didn't.
You didn't want to meet her.
I did.
You don't care two pins about my family.
I do. I was just getting ready to take, your aunt to the train. That must be Ben.
At this hour? Well, I declare.
It's Ben, Marge.
I know. I saw him. Good morning, Mrs. Ransom.
Well, this is quite a family. Don't mind me, anybody.
Ben, darling, are you really going right away?
Yes, ma'am, right now. I just thought I'd drop over and say goodbye to everybody.
Well, you came to the right place. Everybody's here.
Gee, that's right. Well, goodbye.
So long, Ben. If you get to Germany, drop a couple of blockbusters for me.
I will, son. Marge.
Goodbye, Ben.
Goodbye, honey.
Leroy? Well, Ben?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, my boy, you'll be going a long way off.
That's right, I guess.
You'll be going a long way off, and it may be a long time before we see you again.
That's right.
I suppose at a time like this, I ought to be giving you some good advice.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, for heaven's sake, don't get tattooed.
Uh-oh, there's Uncle Sam, folks. So long.
Goodbye.
Ben, will you write to me and let me know your address?
You bet I will.
Throckmorton, there's just time for you to shave before you take Aunt Jenny.
Leela, excuse me. There's something I forgot to ask Ben. I'll be right back.
Well, I must say.
Oh, Ben! Wait just a second.
What is it, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Oh, if you should happen to hear of anything just right for me in the Navy in the next 4 or 5 days, send me a wire. So long, Ben. Well, here it is. Mrs. Winfield Barrington Scott requests the pleasure of your company at the marriage of her sister, Mrs. Leela Barrington Ransom, to Mr. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, that's me, on Sunday, June 27th, 1943, at the South Street Church, Summerfield. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweeten.
This is Brian Hendrickson speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in again next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
This presentation of the Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as the Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie and Lisette Ralph as Bertie. Pam Hungate played Leela Ransom. Nick Helton was the judge, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. Also appearing in our cast, you heard Stuart Talbert as Ben and Charles Lister as Floyd. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison speaking and inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Let's listen to some music from the Dinah Shore Show from 1941. La da 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 la da 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 da. Ladies and gentlemen, a new program of songs by Dinah Shore with Paul LaValle and his orchestra, brought to you each Sunday at this time by Bristol Myers, in appreciation of your friendliness toward Minute Rub, Modern Chest Rub, and Sal Hepatica, famous laxative. And now we bring you radio singing sensation, chosen as the outstanding new star of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dinah Shore.
Thank you, Harry, and good evening, everyone.
Dinah, you know, you're positively radiant tonight.
Simply bubbling over.
Of course, there's a reason.
Well, indeed there is. My alma mater, Vanderbilt, won their big game of the season yesterday.
Hear, hear.
So tonight I'm going to sing as my first song, a tune I've always loved and I hope they love. A happy bit of music that came out just about the time I was in my graduating class at kindergarten.
Not London Bridge is Falling Down.
No. No, Harry, that came out when you were in kindergarten.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we won't talk about that. Now, you were saying, Dinah...
Not saying, Harry, singing. Somebody loves me, I wonder who. I wonder who he can be. Somebody loves me, I wish I knew. Who he can be worries me. For every boy who passes by, I shout, hey, maybe you were meant to be my loving baby. Somebody loves me, I wonder who. Maybe it's you. When this world began, it was heaven's plan. There should be a girl for every single man. Ooh, my great regret, someone has upset heaven's pretty program. For we've never met. Somebody loves me, I wonder who. Baby, maybe it's you.
Oh, Dinah, that was grand.
Thank you, Harry.
You're quite welcome. It's no trouble. Say, as long as you're in such a nice humor, Dinah, would you do me a favor?
Why, certainly. What is it?
Well, ask me a question. Any question at all.
Why?
Well, Paul LaValle was on a quiz program, and he's been bragging how good he was,
oh,
you see. So ask me anything, like who was president in 1820, or how much gold is there in Fort Knox. Go on, ask me something.
Well, let's see. Here's an easy one.
Yeah.
Right up your alley. What causes a cold?
Well, that's not easy, Dinah. That's, even scientists don't know the answer for sure. But even though we may not know what causes colds, almost everyone does know what colds cause. They cause us to feel out of sorts and often downright wretched. That's why it's wise to get after annoying cold symptoms promptly, ladies and gentlemen, with Minute Rub. That's MinitRub. For Minute Rub gives you fast relief from cold wretchedness in three important ways. First,
Minute Rub's analgesic or pain-relieving action helps soothe the discomfort and tightness caused by local congestion.
Second,
Rubbing on Minute Rub stimulates circulation, helps relieve muscular pain, and brings a comforting sensation of heat to the affected areas.
And third,
Minute Rub's active menthol vapors help relieve that stuffed-up feeling in your nasal passages.
So ask your druggist for an inexpensive tube of this famous modern rub. And massage Minute Rub on your throat and chest whenever you suffer from cold symptoms. You'll appreciate its feeling of brisk heating warmth, for that means you've started to enjoy the three-way relief of Minute Rub. Now, Dinah, what about your record for this week? What happens there?
Well, Harry, it's an oldie that's been hibernating for a long time.
Oldie, huh?
Uh-huh, and we woke it up and made a new arrangement. Well, see if you don't like Miss You.
Miss You. Well, I'd like anything you sing, Dinah. You
know
that.
Oh, you sweet thing.
No trouble.
Incidentally, Harry, we've written special lyrics to the verse that I'm sure all the girls who write to that one and only will more than understand.
I bet they will. Well, Dinah sure sings one of her liquid releases, Miss You.
When day is done and taps is blown, darling, think of me, lonely me. For though you're gone, our love lives on. If you could only see how much I miss. Since you went away, dear, I miss you more than I can say, daytime, nighttime, nothing I do can make me forget that I. My dreams I'll kiss you, whispering, darling, how I miss you. Tell me, do you ever miss me as I miss you?
Did you ever notice that songs about love are usually sad?
Well, oh, that's right, Harry. I never
thought of that.
Well,
look, Dinah.
Uh-huh.
How about you and I doing something a little different? They supposedly get together and write.
Harry, go no further. I think it'd be a swell idea to write a gay song about love, too, but I'm afraid we're a little late.
You mean someone has beaten us to the punch?
Uh-huh. I'm afraid the songwriting team of Von Zell and Shore will have to wait for another inspiration.
Nobody tells me anything.
No.
Well, what happened? Who did it?
Well, when I was in Boston recently for the opening of Mr. Cantor's new show, I also saw the Olson and Johnson show, and one of their catchiest tunes in it was a song called Happy in Love.
What?
Happy in Love.
That is mental plagiarism. That's
no.
The title I had in my mind. Now, get me a lawyer.
Harry, well, it has more than a good title, Harry. I'd like to be the first one to give you a sample.
Happy in love, ho, ho, what a feeling. You're never, never, never happy till you're really, really, really happy in love. Nothing on earth can give you that feeling. You may be silly, silly, sappy, but oh, baby, baby, when you're happy in love, you want everybody to know it. You'd like to get up on the highest steeple, shout to people, happy in love, the sky's your ceiling. You lucky, lucky, lucky chappy, it's great to be living when you're happy in love. lucky, lucky, lucky chappy. It's great to be living when you're happy and love. Great to be living when you're happy and love.
Oh, that was really swell, Dinah. You know, you always sing better than usual.
Oh, thank you very much, Harry.
It's no trouble at all. Really, you have a lovely voice, Dinah.
Oh, well, you're very sweet, but why are you saying that now, Harry?
Well, that's because I always say exactly what I think when I think it.
But think of our audience.
Oh, I always do, Dinah. Oh. Yes. I always tell them exactly what I think, too, and that's a pleasure. Because what I tell them about Sal Hepatica can benefit them a lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, just remember this, won't you? That whenever you need a laxative, you can always depend on Sal Hepatica to give you speedy, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And that's mighty important for this reason.
It means you need never put off till night taking the laxative you need in the morning or during the day. Remember this about Sal Hepatica, too. It also helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity.
So be sure to stop at your drugstore tomorrow for an economical bottle of Sal Hepatica. Then, whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. Yes, sir, Colonel. At your command, sir.
Who are you talking to?
Why, you, sir. You are Colonel Shore, aren't you?
Oh, so you heard about it, too.
Yeah. I not only heard about it, Dinah, but I saw it. That commission you received from the Will Rogers Air Base making you an honorary colonel and flight command pilot looked awfully important to me, and I am taking no chances, sir.
Well, at ease, Harry.
Thank you.
You know, Harry, when I visited the air base at Oklahoma City, they showed me the most wonderful time. Oh, those planes and those uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Dinah, I take it that you have a song for the Air Corps.
You bet I have, Harry.
Well, Miss Colonel Dinah Shore commands the officers and men at the Will Rogers Air Base to listen to the song they have requested. The Man I Love. Attention!
Someday he'll come along. The man I love, and he'll be big and strong. The man I love, and when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. Look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, you'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I will meet him someday, maybe Monday. Maybe not. Still, I know I'll meet him one day. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. We'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love.
It's one of the brightest and gayest tunes ever written. It's Irving Berlin's great song, Blue Skies Smiling at Me. Nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by when you're in love, oh my, how
fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Nor to sing the days hurrying by when you're in love. My, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Oh, Dinah, that was lovely.
Well, Harry, you just can't miss with a song by Irving Berlin. He never lets you down.
No, that's right.
But I do know a young man who does.
Oh, is he mean to you, Dinah?
Mean? Harry, he never sends me any flowers.
Uh-oh.
He never cheers my lonely hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dinah, could this fellow's first initial be J?
Yeah, but come to think of it, I shouldn't talk that way about Jim. He's been pretty good to me, and since he's responsible for the success of one of my favorite records, I think I'll sing about him again tonight.
Jim doesn't ever bring me pretty flowers. Jim never tries to cheer my lonely hours. Don't know why I'm so crazy about Jim. Never tells me I'm his heart's desire. I never seem to set his love afire. Gone are the years I've wasted on him. Sometimes when I get feeling, I say, let's call it quits. Then I hang on and let him go, breaking my heart in bits. Oh, someday I know that Jim will have to leave me. Still, even if he does, you can believe me. I'll go on carrying a torch for Jim.
Ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest National Gallup poll, during the one-week period ending November 15th, colds were reported in one-third of all the homes in America, and the number of those affected was estimated to be 18 million people. And don't forget that colds will continue to be mighty common now for the next few months. So be prepared to get after aggravating cold symptoms promptly with Minute Rub. That's MinitRub. For Minute Rub promptly helps relieve cold wretchedness in three important ways. First,
Minute Rub's analgesic or pain-relieving action soothes the discomfort and tightness caused by local congestion.
Second,
rubbing on Minute Rub stimulates circulation, helps relieve muscular pain, and brings a comforting sensation of heat to the affected areas.
And third,
Minute Rub's active menthol vapors help relieve that stuffed-up feeling in your nasal passages.
So ask your druggist for an inexpensive tube of this famous modern rub. And massage Minute Rub on your throat and chest whenever you suffer from cold symptoms. You'll appreciate its feeling of brisk heating warmth, for that means you've started to enjoy the three-way relief of Minute Rub. That was pretty, wasn't it? Say, Dinah.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen a revival meeting?
Now, what a question to ask a girl from Tennessee.
Oh, well, I just thought I'd ask, you know.
Oh, I think one of the first songs I ever learned to sing was a spiritual, Harry.
Well, Dinah, how about Revival Day, the song you're going to sing next? Is that a spiritual, or?
Well, sort of. I guess you'd call it a spiritual with a Manhattan touch, and just a little swing added.
Oh.
If you and Paul and the boys will help me out with a little plain and fancy hand clapping, I'll show you what I mean.
Have you ever had a sermon stir your soul? Make you seek the River Jordan for your goal? Brothers and sisters, come along, let your feelings out. Just hear those sisters moaning and hear those brothers groaning, repenting and atoning on revival day. They're talking to the Spirit just like they see and hear it, or they're sinful and they fear it on revival day. When that congregation starts to sing, nothing in this world don't mean a thing. Oh, oh, glory, hallelujah, don't it make you feel peculiar? Oh, the devil, he can't fool you on revival day. When that congregation starts to sing, nothing in this world don't mean a thing. Oh, glory, hallelujah, don't it make you feel peculiar? Oh, the devil, he can't fool you on revival day. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, about a year ago, a certain young orchestra leader had a dream, and he told me that he dreamt he was playing one of his original compositions on my program. Well, we both thought that was very funny at the time, but tonight here it is. Paul LaValle and his little woodwinds are going to play his own composition, The Dance of the Woodwinds.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dinah Shore is going to sing I Know Why.
Correction, please. Hmm? Dinah Shore is going to sing I Know Why after Harry Von Zell makes a timely observation on wise men.
Oh, well, fair enough, Dinah. Ladies and gentlemen, wise men have said that while it's nice to have money or fame, it's far better just to feel good. And that is certainly true. So any morning you should happen to wake up feeling dull and headachy due to the need of a laxative, don't put off taking one till night. For then you're apt to go on feeling miserable the rest of the day. Instead, take sparkling Sal Hepatica before breakfast. For this famous mineral salt laxative brings you quick, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And besides, Sal Hepatica also helps sweeten an upset stomach by helping to reduce excess gastric acidity. So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica first thing tomorrow. And whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you rely on gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica. I think that's a lovely little tune.
Thank you.
Dinah, I was thinking here, you've sung a song to the soldiers,
uh-huh.
a song to the sailors, and
uh-huh.
to the Air Corps. What could be more logical or fitting, then, to sing a song tonight for the Marines?
Well, Harry, the Marines, as usual, are way ahead of you.
Oh.
They have landed and have the situation well in hand. So tonight, for the officers and men stationed at the New River, North Carolina Marine Base, I'm going to sing a song they have requested. I Know Why.
Why do robins sing in December? Long before the springtime is due. And even though it's snowing, while they're growing, I know why, and so do you. Why do breezes sigh every evening, whispering your name as they do? And why have I the feeling stars are on my ceiling? I know why, and so do you. When when the music begins, I can see the sun when it's raining, hiding every cloud from my view. And why do I see rainbows when you're in my arms? I know why, and so do you. I'm in heaven when the music begins. I can see the sun when it's raining, hiding every cloud from my view. And why do I see rainbows when you're in
Dinah, I guess we have to go now.
Oh, is the time gone already?
Yes.
Folks, I love to sing, and if you like to listen, won't you come to see us again next Sunday?
And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a cold,
remember Minute Rub.
If you need a laxative,
remember Sal Hepatica.
And if you have 15 minutes at the same time next Sunday,
remember Dinah Shore.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by ART's website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. You know, we put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time!